This audio recording is a ministry of the Church of the Incarnation, a parish of the Personal Ordinariate of the Chair of St. Peter in the Catholic Church. We thank you for listening, and we invite you to visit us either in person in Orlando, Florida, or on the web at www.theparish.org. The following sermon was preached on Sunday, April 19th, 2015. The Third Sunday in Easter, by Father William Doc Holliday.
Peace be to you. May the words of my mouth and the meditation of all of our hearts be acceptable in thy sight, O Lord, our strength and our Redeemer, in the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen. Peace be to you. Peace to you. Our Lord Jesus Christ emphasizes this idea of peace throughout his entire being. That is who Jesus Christ is. He is the manifestation of the endeavor of God making peace with us as individuals. When I say us, I always, sometimes it applies. Other times we have to really, we can become a little bit, in a holy way, selfish about the whole thing. Because the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ brings us is to us as individuals. When we look at this gospel, actually this is another perspective on the gospel we had last week from St. John. St. John, the same thing. The two on the road to Emmaus, they see our Lord Jesus and they come back and they tell the others and they're behind the locked doors because they're afraid of being taken by the Jews or the Romans and they're scared. So they're in this locked room and Jesus appears to them behind these locked doors. And this is why we have different gospel accounts. That's why we just don't have a gospel, because we learn more when there are different perspectives of the whole thing. St. John emphasizes the institution of the sacrament of penance. But St. Luke emphasizes something else. St. Luke emphasizes the difficulty of accepting the resurrection. There's a difficulty for people. I'm not going to beat the dead horse that I really harped on last week, that being that you would think that the apostles who walked with our Lord Jesus Christ for years and heard him make promises and do things that validated the promises that he made. For instance, little things like making blind people see and deaf people hear and people who had never walked a day in their life, making them get up and walk. Or little things like raising someone from the dead who had been dead for 4 days. Now, you would think that just watching these things happen throughout the ministry of our Lord Jesus Christ, that you would come away saying, you know, if he looks at me and says that I'm going to have to be turned over to the scribes and Pharisees and be spat upon and scourged and crucified, but on the third day I will rise again, you would think if just seeing the things that they had and hearing those words that they would have kind of stepped back. Oh, you know, we're sad that our Lord is crucified, but he said 3 days later and just gone back to their homes and waited for 3 days. But they did not. They were terribly afraid. Gross understatement. They were terrified. The same lot would befall them. So this whole trust thing, this whole belief thing that we talked about last week comes to the fore. Well, Jesus appears to them. Jesus' appearances, you know, you would think, okay, I've come to die for the sins of the world. I die on the cross. I'm buried. The third day I rise again. I go up into heaven. That's it. My tomb's empty. They don't see me anymore. That should be good enough for them. No, our Lord Jesus Christ continues to appear to a few here, a few there, then all his apostles, and then to hundreds at a time. His appearances do two things. One, they confirm the truth of the resurrection. Again, he's already explained it to them, but he shows them. So he confirms the truth of the resurrection, but he also comes to strengthen their faith. This is where I want to go on this, the whole thing, is a focus on the strengthening of our faith, particularly in one aspect, and that is peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ is a supernatural, sacred, holy manifestation of God making peace with us, not us collectively, us as individuals. We as individuals, when we embrace the love of our Lord Jesus Christ and we come to him in faith and obedience, we get something that defies imagination. We have a holy peace. Before I go on, let's watch definitions, okay? We are not talking about peace as the world views it as much as a lack of conflict, okay? Oh, there's a lack of conflict, there is peace. The scriptures tell us people will proclaim peace, peace, and there is no peace. Just because there's a lack of conflict does not mean that there's peace. A lot of people say, oh, the gospel, that is nothing but peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ said, I have not come to bring peace, but a sword. I will divide families because it's a matter of truth. It's a matter of proclamation. The gospel is a confrontation. You're mandated to go out and proclaim this. It just says John the Baptist proclaimed, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, as our Lord Jesus Christ claimed, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. That is the same message you have, not a dialogue. Put it out one time, and it bears repeating. That word was never used in any church document ever before the 1960s, this idea of dialogue. The mandate of the church is to confront the world with the gospel, to say, repent, and for the kingdom of heaven is at hand, because that kingdom of heaven that is at hand is a peace that defies logic. It is not an absence of conflict. It is a supernatural, sacred, and holy thing that should be for you the comfort and foundation of your Catholic life. Our Lord Jesus Christ is that peace. Our Lord Jesus came and he was born so he could die on the cross for our sins. Yes, absolutely. But why? Why this death on the cross? To make reconciliation between us as individuals and God Almighty. That's why he had to hang on the cross. That's why he had to die. That's why he overcame death. That's the peace of which we speak. Again, I will keep on harping on it and harping it, because you've got to leave here today understanding. It is a peace that is supernatural. It is a peace that is holy. It is a peace that is God-sent. That we'll never get in this side of the veil, because he's God and we're not. We're finite. He's infinite. And it is an infinite peace. Our Lord Jesus Christ manifests before our very being this peace. The prophecy of Isaiah. From the oldest times in the Old Testament, when a Messiah was prophesied. Prophecy in Isaiah chapter 9. He will come and he will be called glorious. The King of Kings. The Lord, Prince of Peace. When our Lord Jesus Christ is born, the angels come down and they meet the shepherds who are tending to their flocks at night. And they say words that we hear every single time that we come to Mass on Sundays and on every major feast day. Glory be to God on high and on earth, peace, goodwill towards men. While our Lord lives, and please keep this one in the forefront of your mind, because we're going to go here in a little bit. In John chapter 14, our Lord says, I leave you my peace I give unto you. It goes on, it does not stop there. Not as the world gives, do I give to you. I am giving you something else. It is not the world's peace, it is my peace. My peace I give to you. Again, not as the world gives. It's not a matter of the giving part of it, not like he's an Indian giver or something like that. He's talking about, I am giving you something different, something much more profound when it comes to peace. And then after his death and resurrection, the Holy Spirit speaking through St. Paul says, and I quote, he came and preached peace to you who were far off and to those who were near. So those who are far off and those who are near, it's easy for us to wag our heads at those who are far off. Well, of course they need Jesus. They're far off. He doesn't leave it at that. He says, to those of you who are far off and to those of you who are near. Because guess what? It doesn't matter how close you may be. Close doesn't get it when it comes to eternal salvation. Close does not cut it. You have to be where you need to be, and that is in the arms of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's what he's talking about. So we're not, as I emphasized last week, and I don't wish to continue that, but you know, if you come here more than 3 weeks, we know that We are not born middle of the road. We are not born, well, everybody's basically good. No. Because of original sin and actual sin, if you start taking an error on this world outside of our Lord Jesus Christ, you are God's enemy. Are you saying these people that don't believe in Jesus, they are God's enemies? They are at enmity with our Lord. The Holy Spirit says that He came to preach peace to those who are far off and those who are near. We all need this supernatural peace, this reconciliation with God. We need to be reconciled with God because of original and actual sins. So Jesus Christ is this peace of which we speak. He is divine. He is the second person of the Trinity, and He manifests this peace to us in a couple ways. First, appealing to the law that has always been in place as far as the church goes, lex orandi, lex credendi. The law of prayer is the law of belief. The way we pray, the way Mass is celebrated, speaks to the spirituality of the people engaged therein. The way we preach, the way we pray, the way we receive communion, the reverence that we show, is the way we believe. And it kind of runs the gamut in our day and age. You know, I'm not going to harp on this, that, or the other thing. Just let your mind wander as to places you visited. You know, and you're really is that the way we believe? Is what I see here? Is that truly the way we believe? It's the way they believe, or they wouldn't do that. Okay? So, lex orandi, lex credendi. The way we pray is the law of our belief. And it starts with us sacramentally. This whole idea of this supernatural, holy peace that our Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. It starts in our baptism when we are reconciled with God by the washing away of original and any actual sins that are with us in baptism. Those sins go away in our baptism. And this is not a homily on baptism, but that's where it starts. And it continues sacramentally in our confirmation. Confirmation is a very simple rite, so to speak. You know, there's a lot of them that are very intricate and a lot of really complicated. For instance, baptism. Confirmation isn't. It's the anointing with oil, then the little slap on the cheek, or there should be, communicating to us that we are now soldiers of Christ, and then the peace. Peace be with you. This solidifies the peace that our Lord Jesus Christ gives to us. That peace which we hear about in the benediction after every Mass. Okay? You know, it's not the benediction. Oh, Father Doc must like that one because it sounds really churchier, this, that, or that. It's the words of Scripture. Philippians chapter 4, verse 7, for those who like to take notes. The peace of God which passes all understanding will keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. That you receive an objective blessing upon your soul by the words of our Lord Jesus Christ Himself when those words are pronounced, which speaks volumes to those who would leave early and negate that blessing of a supernatural peace to be bestowed upon them. When those words are said at the end of Mass, it is truly a peace which passes all understanding. Again, those are the words of the Holy Spirit. It passes our understanding. We can't get it, but we should relish in it. We should relish in it because we don't understand it. Because it is in our sacramental and our liturgical life, first and foremost. It is about the peace that we now have with God as a consequent of our baptism. And there's a place in the Mass. I'm going to go somewhere, okay? I'm going to throw out a caveat. I forgot to throw this out last night. This is a caveat, okay, before I start going here. We're going to enter into a realm of intramural debate. What I say is not a criticism of what others do. That's not what I mean. It is an explanation of why we do what we do and why in the Mass it's been celebrated the way we do it for the past several hundred years. And that has to do with the part of the Mass that is called simply the Pax, the peace. Okay? It is a part of the Mass where this whole idea of this holy, sacred, God-given, supernatural peace is communicated to us through our Lord Jesus Christ and His sacrifice on Calvary. This is the matter here when we talk about the holy sacrifice of the Mass at this point when we hear the peace. It does not start when we hear the words, O Lord Jesus Christ, who said to thine apostles, peace I leave with you, my peace I give unto you. That's emphasizing something for something we have just asked for after the Lord's Prayer. The part of the prayer that is, it's not part of the prayer, it's actually words of the embolism, to be technical. Deliver us, O Lord, from all evils, past, present, and to come. It goes on. We are asking for what is going to happen as the Mass progresses, that we are to be protected because we have to understand. And when we say those words, when the priest says those words, and you join with him in spirit, that we are weakened, day in and day out. We are weakened, we are tempted, we are beaten down by the circumstances of life, we are beaten down by sins. We're asking that we are to be kept from this, to be restored, to be protected from these attacks of Satan, from the attacks of our own innate sinfulness. We're asking that God would have mercy. We are asking for God to do something with us that is truly supernatural and that we can't do in our natural selves. And as the liturgy goes on, then we hit the part. O Lord Jesus Christ, who said to thine apostles, I leave you my peace I give unto you. Speaking about His peace, a supernatural peace, a sacred peace. And then the very next thing that happens, the priest turns and he says, in the word, and these are not Doc saying or any other priest who is standing in front of you. This is not him saying, the peace of the Lord be always with you. And you say, and with thy spirit. We're not communicating one to another a peace. The priest is speaking in the words of Jesus Christ. He is acting in persona Christi, and he is saying, the peace of the Lord be always with you, and you are in agreement, and with thy spirit, that we all may have this peace. But again, it is a supernatural peace. And then the priest traditionally turns, and diffraction occurs. The body of Christ is broken. A lot of people look at the words of consecration as the absolute pinnacle of the Mass. And it probably is debatable, because where there was bread and wine, now there is the body, blood, soul, and divinity of our Savior. He has come from heaven and rested upon our altars. Things in this world have yielded to the supernatural. So Jesus Christ is objectively, truly present on our altars, after the words of consecration. But something more profound happens after this, the peace of the Lord be always with you. The priest turns and there's diffraction. That body of Christ, which is on this altar, is broken in an unbloody way. It's broken in an unbloody way, but at that moment, that is truly the sacrifice of the Mass. That is the pinnacle of redemptive history. That is that point that I always emphasize, where the barriers of time and space go away. They go away, and for that few moments, we are on Calvary. We are before the cross. We are standing next to the Blessed Virgin Mary and St. John the Divine, truly and objectively. And we are looking at the beaten, bloody, pierced body of the God-man spiked to wood as he breathes his last. He had to do that to give us this supernatural peace. God himself had to die to give you the peace. And this is where the intramural debate comes in. If what I just said is true, if you are truly on Calvary, next to the Blessed Virgin Mary, and to St. John the Divine, as they look upon the bleeding body of our Lord, who is laboring to breathe, who is getting ready to die, for one moment do you think they would have looked at each other and said, "Peace be with you," and shook hands and hugged one another? For one moment, do you think at the Last Supper, when our Lord Jesus Christ said, "This is my body which will be given for you. This is my blood." For one moment, do you think that the apostles, saddened beyond belief at what was going on, would have got up and walked around the table, "Peace be with you! Peace be with you!" I leave it at that. It obfuscates what's going on. It clouds up the glorious peace that our Lord to the mundane. It takes the holy and brings it down. It is not a peace for the person next to you. It is God's peace with you. That's what it is. That's why we do what we do. That's why in the Mass it has been done like that for several centuries. Because the communication of that true peace that our Lord gives us, that otherworldly peace, a peace that this world does not understand, the peace that this world does not understand is for you. That's why it should be such a great comfort. And when you have that peace, then it becomes very practical. We talked about the liturgical, let's talk a little bit about the practical. When we become of an age of reason, and we start thinking about our past, and we think about our relationship with Christ, we can be beset by sins from the past. Or we can be beset by sins as we walk the Catholic life, and all of a sudden we trip up and we fall on our face. We can become sad. Guess what? We should be sad. But guess what? It should last from the time that you sin to the time that you get into the confessional and you were absolved of those sins. And after you were absolved, you ought not think of them again. You ought not be burdened by things of the past, because our Lord has said they are of no more consequence, and because of the cross they are of no more consequence after you were absolved from them. So the sadness should again last briefly, because it only should be a brief period between the fall and the time you get to the confessional. St. Jose Maria, the founder of Opus Dei, he equates this whole thing about the cloud of dust that is raised from our sins when we fall. You know, they do happen. They are consequent. We do have a cloud of dust that surrounds us when we fall, but guess what? The winds of grace blow that cloud away. And if you don't stop being sad about it, that is a spiritual pride. It's spiritually prideful to think that you in some way are perfect, that you in some way are sinless. He knows you're going to sin. He knows you've sinned in the past. He knows you are going to sin. That's why we have a confessional. That's why we are absolved for our sin. Because unless you are the Blessed Virgin Mary or our Lord Jesus Christ himself, you are not sinless. So to think that you are, for one moment, is spiritual pride. And that in and of itself is a sin. Good deal with that one. Okay? So don't be beset by past sins. Don't let them weigh you down. There's another thing that I want to point out just briefly, and that's about people who are on the walk. They're getting close to the Lord. They can become scrupulous. Scruples deprive us of the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. And if you don't know what scruples are, you don't have to worry about it. Those of you who do, you know what I'm talking about. To be scrupulous deprives you of your peace. The peace of soul that our Lord Jesus Christ gives us by his death and resurrection. And whatever robs you of your peace of soul is not of God. So, I'm a really holy person. That's why I have to be meticulous about this and that. And that's why I go to confession 3 or 4 times a week. Because, no, guess what? You're scrupulous. You're scrupulous. And you cannot be that way. You do not have the peace of our Lord Jesus Christ. When you leave that confessional, you ought to be good. You ought to feel well for an extended period of time until something really huge comes up. And then deal with those other little things occasionally, because the Mass deals with venial sins. You don't want to weigh them down, and you want to bring them up when you go to a confession periodically. And again, the confessional is there for you anytime you need it. But don't just, again, don't be scrupulous, because anything that robs you of your peace of soul, as I said before, cannot be of God. So it's from somewhere else. It's either from your own innate fallenness, or you're beset by some oppression from outside. But it is not of God. So when you start being scrupulous, or you think you're being scrupulous, you are. Step back from that. Step back from that and just glory in the peace of Christ. Look at a crucifix and think, He died for me for that. And move on. Because it is this peace that passes all understanding that we receive. Be attentive to it. Be attentive to it. Appreciate it. May it be a source of absolute comfort for you. Appreciate what our Lord gives us. And listen to the word every time you hear peace now. And you hear about it often, because He is the Prince of Peace. He is the one that brought it for us. Just look at the crucifix and know that you should have that peace and you should appreciate it. In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Ghost. Amen.